Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance.
From God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We look this morning as part of the message here to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in accordance with the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my child, whom I love. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clean conscience as my ancestors did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day. When I remember your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I remember your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am convinced that it also lives in you. For this reason, I am reminding you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a timid spirit, but a spirit of power and love and sound judgment. This is the word of the Lord. So Paul was in prison again. But this time was different. He was not expecting to be released. It had been over 30 years since those tongues of fire had first appeared over the disciples' heads on that first Pentecost Sunday. And by God's grace, they had gone on to carry that message, that flame of faith, out to the world. They had proclaimed the good news of Jesus. They carried the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea and to Samaria. And as the Apostle Paul worked, he spread that gospel message to the farthest reaches of the Roman Empire. But things were different now. Christians weren't just being harassed. They were being persecuted and executed. Many of Paul's congregations out there in the Roman world were struggling. Even some of Paul's companions had abandoned him, and he knew that the end was near. And yet, Paul wasn't pessimistic. I mean, when he wrote to Timothy, he didn't say, well, you know, Timothy, we had a good run, but all good things must come to an end, eh? Yeah, Paul wasn't throwing up his hands and giving up. He certainly didn't entertain the thought that with his death, this whole gospel message of Jesus Christ thing would just die out with him. No, in spite of all that he was going through, Paul was optimistic. In fact, even more than just optimistic, he was thankful. He was grateful, and you can hear it in this letter to his young friend Timothy. Some consider 2 Timothy to be Paul's sort of last will and testament, so to speak, when it comes to passing on the torch of reaching out with the gospel. Well, 2,000 years have passed since Paul wrote, and those words that Paul wrote back then under inspiration of the Holy Spirit continue to remain relevant and just as important today. Because as we give thanks today for God's grace in the life of Timothy, we give thanks that that flaming torch of faith, that fire of faith, has been passed on again and again, and it is now in our hands. And so Paul, instead of complaining about the deplorable conditions of his dungeon cell, instead of cursing his so-called friends who gave up on him and deserted him, instead of challenging God, like, how could you treat me like this? How could you allow me to be in this situation? In spite of all the service that Paul had dedicated to the Lord's service, the first words of Paul's last letter were words of thanksgiving. He wrote to Timothy, I thank God, whom I serve with a clean conscience as my ancestors did. See, Paul had been accused of doing something highly illegal. He was spreading a new religion. And so Paul is saying, hey, with a clean conscience, I am sharing this message of the Messiah, this Jesus, just as my ancestors did. He was referring to the prophets who for centuries had said that just this Jesus was coming. This was no new religion. Paul was simply bringing it all together for the people that he was speaking to. He was helping them to see that those prophets of old, all of those prophecies had now been fulfilled in Jesus the Christ. Paul was simply just connecting dots. He did nothing wrong. But to help people to experience the joy and thanksgiving of recognizing Jesus as their Savior, that all those promises of God had been beautifully fulfilled in Jesus. And it was that beautiful message of the gospel that connected Paul and Timothy. Now you may recall that Paul never married. He had no children, no family. And so in many ways, as he dedicated his life to mission work, he had these relationships with people throughout the known world at that time, special relationships, and Timothy was one of them. Now, he didn't know Timothy, you know, from knee-high to a grasshopper on up. He didn't see him grow up. He got to see Timothy grown up. And to be able to see in him that something from the Lord, that gift of faith that had been given to him. And as he saw Timothy and saw his desire, saw the light of faith that was burning in him, Paul decided to take him along on his second missionary journey. And from that time on, they were basically inseparable. They traveled together, they worked together, they prayed together. Paul called Timothy, my child whom I love. And in the book of Philippians, he went so far as to say, I have no one else like him. And so all of this helps us to appreciate what Paul writes next. He says, I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day. When I remember your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I suppose in many ways, Paul considered himself to be Timothy's spiritual father. Paul may not have seen him grow up from knee-high to a grasshopper, but he did get to see his growth in faith. He got to see that faith as it was fanned into greater flame. And along the way, Paul surely would have been instrumental in helping Timothy through some tough times, some soul-searching and challenges. And so, some tearful times. And yet, you see the joy, the godly pride that Paul takes in Timothy, kind of like when a parent sees their child start to do adult things, start to step out there in life and show their faith and take those first steps. But Paul couldn't take all the credit for Timothy's spiritual formation. He was quick to point out that Timothy's spiritual formation began early on, long before Paul came on the scene. He wrote, I remember your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am convinced that it also lives in you. Timothy had been given a great gift as a child. He was born into a God-fearing family. His father was a Greek and therefore a pagan, but his mother and his grandmother were believers. He learned Bible stories as he sat on his, well, depending on the Greek or the Hebrew, his yaya's lap or his bubby's lap, depending on yaya being the Greek word for grandma and bubby being the Hebrew word for grandma. He was led in his prayers by his mother, Eunice, before he went to bed at night. And it was this living faith of these two women in his life that gave him that gift. As they witnessed to him and shared with him, they passed on that flame of faith to young Timothy. Parents, I know that it doesn't make the headlines when a mom helps their child through their memory work. No one notices when a dad leads his children in prayer. Christian training is not glamorous work, but there is no more important work It's that work of witnessing our faith in our homes to our children, to those closest and nearest and dearest to us. It is that passing on that flame of faith. And quite frankly, we sit here today, we are holding on to that flame of faith, because of people in our lives. Maybe it was some neighbor that witnessed to you. Maybe it was someone who posted something online that drew your attention. But for a lot of us, it was a parent or parents or a grandparent or grandparents that passed that on to us, who took the time to sit with us and help us to teach us that God so loved the world and that we are truly Jesus' little lambs. And so on a day like today, as we look at Timothy and the gift of faith that he was given, we give thanks for those in our lives, those dear people in our lives who have passed on to us their faith, and to take to heart God's reminder through the Apostle Paul to fan into flame this gift of God. Because quite frankly, that's the best way we can show our thanksgiving, our appreciation for these Loises and Eunices who have been so instrumental in our lives. That's the best way that we can give them the honor that they deserve. It's the best way that we can give glory to God for this precious gift he has given us, to keep that flame of faith burning brightly, to live that faith in word and action, to pass that flaming torch of faith on to others, to the next generation, to those who need to hear it. And I know it isn't going to be easy. Isn't going to be easy to be religious about your religion. It isn't going to be easy to demonstrate for your kids that regularity in worship is more important than things like maybe vacations and recreational leagues. Isn't going to be easy to warn your best friend that the life choices that she's making are self-destructive and putting her eternity at risk. Isn't going to be easy to stop the gossip among your classmates when they're running down another student. Isn't going to be easy to show compassion to those around us, particularly when we're tempted to deem them as undeserving, unappreciative, unforgiven. It isn't going to be easy to share what we hold to and confess about Jesus to someone that you've just met, let alone someone with whom you've shared a home for years. It only takes a spark to get a fire going, as the old campfire song goes. It's going to be easy to be the Spirit's instrument to fan into flame the gift of faith. Apparently, Timothy had similar thoughts and feelings. Perhaps more of a leaner than a leader. Paul stirs Timothy's heart when he writes, "For God did not give us a timid spirit, but a spirit of power and love and sound judgment." Paul knew Timothy. He knew his strengths and his weaknesses, and he knew exactly what Timothy needed to hear. Paul declaring, "Timothy, don't tell me that you aren't up to the task. Don't tell me that you don't have the gifts or the guts to be who God called you to be. I know better. I know that you have been given the gift of God, faith. And that is power, because it is the message of the gospel. I know that you have a love for God and a love for lost souls. God doesn't give any of us a spirit of timidity. In the long list of spiritual gifts, timidity is not one of them. Kindness, gentleness, self-control, yes. Timidity, no. Because God has given us the power of the gospel, the power of God, which is the power for the salvation of everyone who believes, and you have it. In your grasp, the power of God, the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, His perfect life lived for you, His innocent life sacrificed for you, His glorious body raised for you in victory over death. This is freedom. This is forgiveness. This is sure and certain hope. This is the power of God. This is the flame of faith given to you as a gift by God in His immeasurable love. Don't hesitate. Just pass it on. Amen.